We are heading into the middle of the month, and it is fiesta time in Spain. Fiesta time, big time. The country explodes with all kinds of celebrating. This weekend of the 15th of August is a long weekend, and it marks the midpoint of summertime vacation. The days are getting shorter, and the heat is starting to temper a bit. The water is at its warmest, life is good, and we still have a ways to go before the nerves of having to get back to work consume us. It is also quite possibly the most important weekend of the year for fiestas or town fiestas. They are all over the place, and I'm not exaggerating. By a lot of fiestas, I'm talking about something like 1,200 in all over the country. And with little over 8,000 municipalities in Spain, that comes to about 15% of all the towns in the country who are ready and geared up for some serious partying. Now, why are they celebrating? Well, in part because this is Spain, and that's what people like to do. They like to celebrate, and it seems like almost anything is a pretext to celebrate. This is the biggest vacation time of the year, so most of these towns are as big and full of people as they will ever get throughout the year. And what are they celebrating? Well, any one of a number of fiestas. For example, on August 10th, you have St. Lawrence, and then on August 11th, you have St. Clair's. So these are feast days around the middle of the month. And then on August 16th, you have San Roque, or St. Roque, one of the classics in Spain. I'll be telling you a little bit more about that in a minute. But the most important one is definitely August 15th, and that is the Feast of the Assumption. It's a very important day in the Catholic calendar. It's a holy day of obligation, and this is supposed to be when Mary ascends into heaven. Since Spain is a very Marian culture, and by that I mean the cult of Mary is found all over and is particularly important, special attention is made to these moments. Now, there are a lot of versions, I guess I'll put it that way, of the Virgin Mary in Spain. I'll have to tell you more about that on a different occasion. But anyway, many towns choose this date as their fiesta celebration, depending on the Virgin Mary that is venerated in that town. And because this time of the year is so perfect for this type of festivity, I've heard of more than one place, more than one town, which has switched its patron saint, which is celebrated at a different time of year, to coincide with this time of year, August 15th, or in and around that time, just to make the most of the celebration. Now, that doesn't mean that today's fiestas have to do with religion. I mean, they do and they don't. On one hand, they are very important because they represent sort of the pretext for the event, and many people are religious and take it very seriously. You will have your masses, your religious processions, and whatnot, but nowadays they serve more as a backdrop for many, and the real event sort of focuses on other aspects. Okay, you have your verbenas, which are like fairs, you have stands, you have rides and games of skill. Your typical churro stands, the bars and restaurants will open up their terrazas out in the streets, DJs come and play music, or then you'll have bands or orchestras which play popular songs for all ages, from pasodobles to flamenco to classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and even the most modern hits. And that makes perfect sense because that is what these fiestas are all about. Something for the entire family, and it's for everyone to have fun. And on top of that, you might even have a bullfight depending on what part of Spain it is. Some of these towns have their what they call peñas or clubs for the fiestas. And all the members might wear the same t-shirt and celebrate together. A peña can actually be any type of group. It can translate as something sort of as a gang of friends or a club or an association. And they often have a common interest like cycling or gastronomy. Well, you'll also have one for the fiestas. College students and young adults have a lot of fun at these events because they are big on partying. So the fiesta will go on all night into the early hours. In fact, much later than the early hours. You'll go until 6, 7, 8 in the morning. My daughter just got back from a town fiesta this morning, and she arrived at 7 in the morning. And that's not unusual. The big cities also get involved. For example, Madrid has its San Lorenzo or St. Lawrence fiestas in the neighborhood of Lavapiés. Or the famous, its biggest fiesta is La Paloma, which is in the La Latina district. That is probably my favorite one of the year in the capital. It's hot in the city, and yet it sort of explodes as a sort of major rage. It's a lot of fun, and it's definitely worth checking out if you're in Madrid on August 14th and 15th. So this is what's happening all over the country. In the town right nearby where I am this summer, in the mountains of Madrid, a town called Rascafría, they celebrate it for two reasons. One is the Virgin of Grace, and the other is San Roque, or Saint Roque, whose feast day is the next day on August 16th. So in addition to this long weekend of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, they also get Tuesday off. Saint Roque is a fairly common saint in Spain, and his feast day, I think, is also perfect for the type of celebrating that we were talking about. But basically, no one really knows who he was, or very few people do. He's just one of those saints who have nearly disappeared in the collective memory of most people around the world. And if that name is familiar to anyone, it may be because of the fiestas, but it's also famous because there is a popular tongue twister. Now, I'm going to do this one in Spanish, and I'm really bad at it because it focuses on rolling your R's, and I'm really dreadful at it. But this is how it goes. El perro de San Roque no tiene rabo porque Ramón Ramírez se lo ha robado, which translates as something like Saint Roque's dog doesn't have a tail because Ramón Ramírez stole it. So now you have something to practice your rolling Spanish R's with. Now the tongue twister talks about the saint and a dog, and that is no coincidence. Let me tell you a little bit about this saint's life. Saint Roque, or in Italian it's Rocco. So if you've ever heard that name, that's what it's referring to. And in Spanish it's Roque. Was born in Montpellier in France. Probably around 1348, though there is a tradition that he was born a lot earlier, like 1290. But anyway, if 1348 rings a bell to you, it's because that's the traditional date of the arrival of the Black Death in Europe. This fact will be very important to our story, because when Roque was 20, his parents died, and for some unknown reasons, he decided to sell all of his possessions. He was from a wealthy family at the time, mind you, and he went on a pilgrimage to Rome. And on the way, he discovered many people suffering from the effects of the Black Death, and I guess was so impacted by what he saw and experienced, he decided to devote his life to trying to cure the sick who were suffering from the bubonic plague. And when he couldn't, he comforted the dying and found suitable burying plot for the dead. It sort of kind of reminds me of Mother Teresa. Anyway, as was to be expected, he eventually contracted the disease in a town known as Piacenza. And in an attempt to isolate himself, he crawled out of the town and into some woods nearby. There he planned to die silently and humbly without infecting anyone else, but he was kept alive by a dog, remember that's St. Roque's dog from the tongue twister, which brought him a loaf of bread each day from the kitchen where he lived, or where the dog lived. And he also licked the wounds that St. Roque had on his skin, those are those famous wounds from the bubonic plague. And then finally the master of the dog followed the animal one day to wherever he was taking the bread, and it was there that he discovered the convalescing holy man. So he took him home and nursed him to health. Saint Roque recovered and continued to help people for several years. Then he was arrested for being a spy, which was not true, but he died in prison an innocent man before reaching the age of 30, somewhere around 1377 or so. No one really knows. So he had a very brief and not very happy life, but one dedicated to helping others. and many miracles throughout the ages have been attributed to him. Saint Roch has often been asked to intercede in times of plague and in times of any epidemic for that matter. The COVID pandemic was no exception. That makes this year particularly suitable for celebration, in addition to being a patron saint of those who are suffering from the Black Plague and other epidemics. He is the saint of dogs, apparently, pilgrims, invalids, and the falsely accused. And you can recognize an image of him in a church, mainly, as a man dressed as a pilgrim, which is sort of with that long draping habit or dress almost. And he is lifting the habit and revealing a bubo, or open swelling. It's that typical symptom of the bubonic plague. It was really unattractive and harsh. And there's usually a dog with bread in its mouth at his feet. So if you ever see that in a church, you will know that that's Saint Roch, or San Roque, as they say in Spanish. So this is a big weekend, as we said, and a new experience for me, at least a new fiesta experience in the town of Rascafría. I will definitely be seeing some familiar elements there, the kind you find in all the fiestas, but there will also be some unique moments, I'm sure. We'll see what happens. I don't know much about the religious aspect. I asked a man at a coffee shop the other day, what about the procession? He said something to the effect, well, who knows who's going to take the image out for the procession. He was obviously joking, but it was his way of saying that that aspect of the fiestas is no longer as important as it used to be. And this weekend is also not just limited to Spain in terms of celebrating. In Italy, for example, they have their famous Ferragosto, which apparently goes back to Roman times and translates as something like August Fair. It's also on August 15th, and it's a public holiday there. It's not religiously affiliated, but Italy also does have its strong Catholic tradition, and it coincides with the Feast of the Assumption. And I think that'll be all for today. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our PayPal donate button. Or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.